Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and how deeply grateful I am you chose to be with us on this beautiful day. This satsang, this radio program, is being aired for March 26th, Sunday, 2017. And I'm very grateful you chose to be with us as we take a look at psychology today. We're going to take a little gander into that mind of ours and what it's all about and what the heck it does. So I'm very grateful that I'm able to do this for you. And the reason I'm able to do this for you is because of our loving sponsors. It is only through our sponsors that airtime is paid for. And everything, as you know, costs money. So I am urging you to be a sponsor. If you find these radio programs, these satsangs, helpful to you, I'm urging you to become a sponsor and to help us sustain it. And for your sponsorship, you get a load of things. My podcast, video cast, commentaries twice a month, as well as the message of the month coming to you. You can download it from our website at aspire.org. Or if you don't do those kind of things, I can send you a CD, no problemo. You also get 122 discourses. Oh my God, is there any end to Greg? 122 discourses I did for all of the TV series that I have made over the years, including the Beatitudes. All of these things are yours. You can download them. They're free for you. They're a gift and my way of saying thank you. You have no idea how grateful I am to be on the air and how grateful I am that you would become a sponsor. It truly is very moving to me. So I hope that you enjoy these radio programs. I hope you will become a sponsor and help us to sustain, because that's really all it's about, is sustaining our programs. Psychology. What the heck is it? I looked up the word psychology in the Webster's Dictionary, the scientific study of the human mind and its functions, especially those affecting behavior in a given context. The mental and emotional factors governing a situation or an activity. The study of the mind. The science of the mind. Well, gee whiz. We could study all of this and go on forever. And from what I have seen of science and the way it deals with things, because it's very slow and prodding and there's all sorts of side paths that can be taken with it, nothing is ever really accomplished. I've had students who have students who have psychological disorders. Heck, the public has psychological disorders. And they get these medications, and it alters a few things there and here and makes people feel a little distant from their obsessions and compulsions. And I don't know. You're always dealing with psychology, but I'm going to cut to the quick in it. I just want to cut to the quick in it and maybe help you with everything I can that is about your own psychology. It is very hard for people to see their own psychology. It's very hard. Most of us cannot. You need distance and meditation and the practice of no longer engaging in those voices and those thoughts in order to do it. And most people are thoroughly engaged in their thoughts, thoroughly convinced that they're absolute in their thoughts, and truly believe that whatever they're thinking, that's the way it is. So it's a hard thing to deal with, okay? The first question comes from Jesse in Jersey. I guess that's in New York. I've never been. You know, I was at New York once, and it's a tough place. It really is. It was very interesting. I think of a joke there, but I won't go into it. I spoke at this Unity Church there for a couple of Sundays, and it was the audiences were amazing, just amazing. They're just fun people to be in front of. Can psychology change in meditation, Greg? I want my mind to be kind, and it really isn't. Is meditation a way for it to become kind, Jesse? Jesse, first of all, I want to say I admire you for even asking that question. That is a heck of a question, and I like it very much. Rarely do I have a person, rarely on this radio program or anything I do, ask me how to be kind. Rarely, I can't even remember the last time that happened. And you're really refreshing. So I just need to tell you that I'm very grateful for the question. I'm grateful that you listened to me as well. So you want your mind to be kind, and you know that it isn't. I'm going to tell you the truth. I got to tell you how this all works a little bit. And I'm going to keep it really simple because I'm a simpleton and this is the only way I can explain it. My thoughts come from the state of my emotionality. My thoughts do not have independence from my emotionality unless I am meditating, unless I am conscious. My emotionality is connected to my body, and my body is, of course, the genetic disposition of my ancestries. All of them. Every single one of them. So when you hear me think or talk from my thinking, you are hearing not only my mother and father, but the echo of generation after generation after generation of human beings that finally came to me. And at the end of all of this struggle and bubble and all of that, all you're hearing is them and how they could process a thought. Now, to me, that is very discouraging. I don't know my ancestors. I don't want to live in their life. I knew my mother and father. I did not want to live in their life. I did not want to live as they lived. And I did not want to go through the hassle and all the other stuff that they went through. And, you know, it happens. I did go through some of it. And it wasn't pleasant. It wasn't fun. And I didn't know, especially when I was younger. But there came a point when my psychology had to be dropped. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and of course, you get a huge amount of argument about this from different people. Your psychology will change through meditation if you really practice detachment and non-duality. When you're in non-duality and you no longer wish to pit one thought against another, you will be in really great shape. I read in an article this morning in the Chronicle, San Francisco Chronicle, that scientists have found that if a person gets on social media every day and reads it, that they will become depressed. And the reason for the depression is because they compare their lives to other people's lives, their thoughts against other people's thoughts. And then they get depressed, especially women, because their lives aren't as exciting or as romantic as maybe somebody else's seems to be. So this whole ugly matter goes on and on and on in human beings. And we compare and analyze, and this becomes our psychology. So the function of my brain, the function of my living, the function that comes out of my brain with the little neurons firing off in the same pattern over and over and over and over again, which creates habit and all sorts of ugly things, my mind becomes fixed, obsessed, not due to just itself, but to the repetitive emotionality that is going on from my ancestry. So I inherit the body from my ancestry. I inherit a brain that is pre-programmed from my ancestry to think in certain patterns and ways, neurons firing off the same way my ancestors did, and I'm feeding it from my basic emotionality, which is, you know, in a flux all the time, going, oh, this isn't good. Oh, that isn't good. Oh, I want this. Oh, I got to have that. All this, you know, immaturity. And so before you know it, our whole life is ensconced in this whole idea of being as good as others, better than others, and getting everything it wants. And that's how we determine if we're better than others. We look at what they're doing compared to what we are doing and determine that their life is better than our life. And this makes up the psychology of a human being's mind. And it functions as such, and the behavior that comes out of this is usually deplorable, as you might imagine, and as you can imagine. And you start looking at everything from the point of view of our necessity to have and be better than. Most people will not question this. Meditation questions everything. In meditation, you begin to see the meaning of everything as it is. In meditation, we do not engage our thoughts. In meditation, we do not pit one thought against another. So in meditation, we are doing something quite different. We are not looking at our desires, our ambition, our pride as the only way in which to live. And because we live in such a manner, meditatively speaking, we change our psychology. The human being will always have psychology, always. And when you're talking to someone, you're talking to their ancestry. You're not just talking to that person. You're talking to all the people that made up that person. And it goes on and on and on. And nothing ever really changes. Psychology is a very difficult thing in human beings to change, because it has to do with the emotional factors that are governing our minds. And most of us don't want to see that or can't see that. So, Jesse, to answer your question, forgive me. Yes, yes, yes. Meditation will change. And I urge you to get involved. Really. If you want to be a part of this world in a loving way, I urge you to be involved. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. Good question. Next one comes from John in Catalina. I have been to Catalina only once in my life. It was a fun little place. Got seasick on the way back, so don't go there anymore. How do I know if my psychology is normal, Greg? I have strange thoughts at times. Some are even violent. It worries me, John. Well, John, once again, and I'm grateful that you are concerned. I really am. I think that shows responsibility and ultimately the chance for mercy. I don't know how you feed your mind. I don't know. I don't know how you feed it through entertainment, especially. But if you have a proclivity, a predisposition to violence due to your ancestry and how they lived in their bodies, etc., then you need to do something really important with your life. You need to stay away. You need to go on a diet. Stay away from violent movies and violent stories and anything that would, shall we say, upgrade your sense of violence and the strategic value of, shall we say, getting ahead of other people. This is another thing that really promotes psychological problems when I'm thinking in terms of how to outsmart you. how to get what I want from you and outsmart you. These kind of things harbor the dark side. And if you have thoughts of vengeance and add pride to all of that, you're going to find that there are other issues that are going to happen in your thinking. And they are not kind either. And they're the prequel of some very ugly things that people do and don't even know why they did it. You're on a precipice, I think. And I think you need to be very careful with your thinking. I think you need to be very mindful of your mind. And I think it is very important for you to stay away from anything that stimulates violence in any way, shape, or form. This might even go to sports and things like that, where you find yourself going overboard. I have made 3, 4, 5 cathartic meditations just for this kind of thing. And John, I highly recommend you get one or a few, at least, of these catharsises on CD. You can download them from the website here at aspire.org. Go take a look at catharsis. It is very necessary. I do catharsis every day. I don't have the dark thoughts. I've never had them in my life, nor do I have a strategic kind of mind to try to outsmart another person or gain vengeance. That was just never my deal. But we all have things we need to let go of. Your repression of these thoughts and repression of these emotions are not going to do you very much good. Just repressing them isn't going to get rid of them. You must work very actively, very consciously to let them go through catharsis. And if you take a look at the CDs that I have, the meditations that I have available for you, you will find that they will ease your psychology because your emotionality is being drained out the side, and you're not feeding it all sorts of ugly things that the psychology of us are. Mental characteristics and attitudes about ourselves, as it is defined, would invoke on you. So you need to work on yourself. You really do. You need to break that genetic chain of emotionality, of feeling like you want to do things that are unkind or even self-destructive. Now, will people do this in general who are prone to what you're talking about as being angry and such? No way. People like it. They generally incorporate it into their life and they don't even see it. And then when they get angry and hostile and they act out in some way that is, well, what people would call inappropriate or what I would call over the top, they think it's perfectly natural because that's in their genetics. So you're going to have to look at everything from the point of view of what it is and how it is in you. What is this? What am I getting involved in? How does this hurt me? You know, what is my emotions about this? Start to do some catharsis and looking at your thoughts and not reacting to them. Feeling emotion, not reacting to the emotion. Now that is a changer, a game changer. You can't talk to these thoughts and you can't listen to them. You have to watch your breath. You're going to have to actively do things that keep you from falling into the psychology of affecting your behavior in such a way that you impulsively think, impulsively act out, and that's why I have made catharsis for you. Now, if I look at the statistics, John, of all of this, you won't do it. And I understand. The mind just doesn't have room for this. It doesn't. This isn't in our genetic nature. Your mind goes to your emotions and says, hey, we'll try this. And the body and the emotions go, no, 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 no. We don't do that. we're of the elk of this or this or this, and we don't need that. And that's usually the way it goes, and that's why the world is the way it is, and why we see violent crimes and such. So, John, I don't know if I'm talking to the wind here or not, because you're not sitting in front of me. But for the most part, I'm talking to the wind with most people. Prove me wrong, please. Prove me wrong. Do some catharsis. Order yours. You can do it on the website. It's very simple. They're not expensive. And they serve humankind and you. I hope that helps you. Please forgive me. Namaste. You know, you offer, or I offer, for years, 43 years, some stuff that really helps human beings, and you'd think they'd jump on it, but they don't, because the genetic disposition overrides everything and just reduces us back down, 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 down to ancestry. And most people don't even know it, and those that do don't care. So what do you do, you know? Okay, the last question. This comes from Tim, and he doesn't tell me where he lives. Greg, could you tell me what mindfulness is? I've heard the theory of it, but I don't understand it, Tim. Mindfulness. It's a very beautiful thing. Mindfulness is not something you can educate yourself on. It is the practice of watching the mind and exactly knowing what thoughts have ramifications in our life that are painful, ugly, karmic, whatever. Mindfulness is the ability to see the value of a thought, to see the value of what is being thought, and then having the sense of non-duality to simply ignore it. All thoughts. This obviously changes the ebb and flow of my psychology. Mindfulness only comes through meditation. People often complain about meditation, and they'll say, I can't keep my thoughts straight. I can't watch my breath because all these thoughts come in. It happens to all of us. It happens to me. It happens to everybody. But mindfulness is the ability to know the difference between a thought, as it were, and the gap and the spaces between those thoughts. It is only in the gap and the pause between the thoughts that we find any sense of meaning in our life, that we sustain the meaning of our life. And to sustain that meaning is called emptiness. You achieve a certain state of emptiness, and you are going to find that your thoughts don't matter. My thoughts don't matter to me at all. They will say, oh, do this. Oh, you should do that. Oh, you should feel this way. Oh, you should feel that way. But I watch the gap, the pause. I know exactly how my thoughts work. You will know how your thoughts work, Tim, if you just watch. Just watch how your thoughts coagulate, congregate, creating theory and ideas and ideals that have nothing to do with the meaning of your existence or your life at all. And once you understand that, you will never be fooled ever again by a thought. You will see it for what it is, and it is just trying to trip you up, and it's a part of your genetic heritage. And you look at it and you go, I'm not going to do what my forefathers did. It is better to watch the gap and to have a no thing than a something. And in that no thing comes the everything. Trust me on this one. Practice your meditation. Practice detachment. Detachment from your emotionality and non-duality. It will help you immensely. Thank you for your question, Tim. I hope it helped. Please forgive me. Namaste. I want to thank you for a beautiful week of radio programs. I'm thankful for your questions, and you know where to go if you have a question. Come to the website at aspire.org and go to media. Or you can just email me at greg@aspire.org. I'm out of here. Have a beautiful day. Again, please forgive me. Namaste.